You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that DNVR code to get ridiculous odds boosts with a new account. I'm Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli. We talked a little bit about Andre Burakovsky and Nazem Kadri today, or yesterday? Yeah, days, they blend together. We're going to talk more about Kadri today because turns out there's a lot to dive into on this player, and expectations are he's going to be quite important for the Avalanche in this upcoming season. So, AJ, I asked this on yesterday's show as well, but to reiterate, does Kadri need to be the Avs' fourth best player? Forward, let's say forward, because obviously Makar and Kemper could be more important at defense and goaltender.
Yeah, I think he needs to be, you know, barring like Burakovsky having a crazy year.
Sure.
So at absolute worst, he's got to be a top five forward for them.
Yeah. But I mean, top five is pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Hard to, I mean, I guess maybe the universe where Berkey and Newhook both go to the moon, but
yeah, that's probably a pretty good one to live in.
That's some serious, you're living the dream at that point. So the reality is Kadri is extremely important to this hockey team, arguably significantly more important than last year, even when it comes to the fact that the Avs aren't going to have the top six scoring depth, certainly, and maybe the forward depth in general. So they're going to get more out of him.
I mean, they lose. So they lose Brandon Saad. They lose 20 goals, gone. They lose Jonas Donskoy, who was, I think scored more goals last
year. High end goals,
It was like 17 of them. Those are gone.
Yep.
Just right off the top, you just lost. You just lost right about 40 goals.
Darren Helm gonna not replace very much of that.
I I just need Darren Helm to replace Belmar's like 7 points.
All those empty netters he got.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some expectations that New Hook will replace some of that in one way or another.
Yeah. It's not my most popular take, but I'm expecting JT Comfort to bounce back to being a serviceable.
Give you like 15 goals or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of expect that.
Then I'm hopeful that they get 15 out of Jost and Nichushkin.
Yeah. That certainly, you would feel a lot better about their depth if Jost shows up game one and is playing like he was at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Go a long, long way for them. As far as that's concerned, but
yep, and that's another pod that we'll
definitely get into that later on.
I always kind of dread the Jost stuff just because you get like
those there's no middle ground on that kid.
Yeah, like the extremes on him where it's like, oh, this guy's gonna justify the top 10 billing, and he's I think he's just gonna keep getting better, and it's like okay, like it's okay to dream on, but. You know, then you get the other ones who are like, he's useless.
Can do nothing right. Yeah, why is he even in the NHL? And both sides, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, we had somebody just a couple of days ago in our in the comments on one of our when we did the Avalanche offseason last week review, who said that the worst move was re-signing Tyson Jost. That was their worst move.
Definitely so it's not.
Yeah, it's always just the extremes of that conversation,
and
kind of Kadri's kind of put himself there too, because I mean we had people in our chat that
people who are against Kadri on this team.
Well, they need to expose Kadri in the
XD
in the expansion draft, and they would have absolutely lost him.
Yeah,
without a doubt, the fact that they took Donskoy like without a doubt would have lost him, because go and look at Seattle centers.
Would he be Seattle's 1C?
Yes, he should be.
I'd have him 1C over Gord. I guess it, you know, they'd maybe split time there, and whoever works better would do it. But yeah, he would have been a steal for Seattle to take Kadri. There's no doubt about that. But and part of the reason we bring up Jost is because realistically, that's what you're looking at as the next guy in line for 2C at the start of this season.
Yeah, it's either Jost or Comfer, whichever one they want to. And given what we saw with Jost last year, where Jost did move up when McKinnon was hurt and
existed on that line,
you know, like there was some production there, like it wasn't like he moved up and disappeared, but then in like doing that against bad teams, whatever, that's all good and well. The real indicator that Jost couldn't handle that job was in the Vegas series. Yeah. And that's a tough job. Like you go from, oh, can he handle playing up against LA and Anaheim, where it's like okay, he did okay in that job, all right, well, he can handle it against bad NHL teams, to one of the very best NHL teams that kicked the shit out of him. Just frankly speaking, Tyson just drowned in that.
Pick any number you want; it didn't look good.
Yeah, it was he was just overmatched.
Yeah, and that's just the reality of the situation.
He can't handle that job, so that's where Kadri's importance starts. Yep. Is
that Jost starts and ends with Kadri, basically.
And we've known for years JT Comfer can't handle it because they keep trying to give it to him.
He has never succeeded on the second line.
there's a hole in that lineup, and in the last 2 years, Donskoy filled it.
Yep.
That guy's gone. Now it's on Comfer.
Yep. That's
maybe Comfer, maybe New Hook, because we still just don't really know where New Hook fits into that plan.
For now, put New Hook into a box of we'll see.
Yeah. It's where how we expect how we expect Comfort to get used could easily be the same usage that New Hook gets.
Yeah, definitely.
Where a top six wing job, if a center spot opens up, maybe he slides into that if he's playing well. You could easily envision New Hook in that exact role, but actually doing well with it.
Yeah, it definitely could. If he accelerates his career that quickly, that dude is going to get paid very soon. But we'll see. Also, the Avs should be like significant cup favorites if New Hook has broken out this year to that extent. But again, we'll see with New Hook. We'll get to that when we're mid-season and you have a feel for what he's rounding out in the NHL. But for Kadri specifically, the Avs, we touched on this a little bit yesterday. The Avs need more consistency out of him. They need him to not go 20 games with 1 point. But
yeah, it was 20 games with one goal.
Yeah.
Is that and that's where, I mean, that's where Kadri, we've talked about Kadri.
He's like a scorer. He's always been a scorer.
Yeah, he's... Last year it was frustrating because it felt like he was trying to force the breakthrough.
Yep.
You know, to get him through the tough stretch. And it felt like he was doing that at the expense of his line mates. He wasn't ever passing to them. And we've talked like in the past, like he's a selfish center as it is.
Yep.
He's a shoot first guy.
There's always going to be some of that in his game.
Yeah, that element exists. But last year it was to a degree that was frustrating.
Well, and you know, we saw at the end of that ice cold streak, as he started to come out of it a little bit, it was because he was using his teammates. He started picking up a couple assists here and there and distributing the puck a little bit more. And, you know, obviously what happened in the playoffs happened after that. But
yeah,
it's a tough spot when you get into a cold streak that long with a player like Kadri, because 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 games, you're telling a player like that, shoot or shoot, right? Just shoot yourself through the cold streak.
Yeah, so those 20 games, by the way, one goal, 3 assists, 52 shots on goal.
Yeah.
So he shot 1.9%.
That's cataclysmically low. That's not sustainable, I don't think, but...
Yeah.
So, which, again, to my point, like, most of the time... A player of Kadri's caliber with Kadri's scoring ability is going to shoot himself out of a slump like that.
So just because I'm kind of going through these splits right now. Mm-hmm. The first 30 games of the season, 10 goals.
Yep.
On 102 shots, he shot 9.8%. Below his career average, but that's...
Not going to complain about it, yeah.
Not so much lower that you're like, oh my god, this
guy. Anything around 10 and you're happy, right?
Yeah, like, it's not like, here comes the breakout, you know? Instead, it was the exact opposite, because after that 30-game mark, he, starting in game 31...
the last 26 games, yeah.
Yeah, it was one goal... 6 assists, 68 shots. He shot 1.5%.
Yeah, that's just unconscionable, basically. That is unbelievable.
1.5% in 20 across 26 games.
And his total in the season was a 6.5% shooting percentage,
mm-hmm.
which in a season that he played at least 40 games, I think, is tied for his lowest full stop shooting percentage of his career.
Yeah. So,
and you could see too, like, yes, he wasn't shooting his best, but during that stretch, he was definitely snake bit as well. Pucks just weren't going in for him.
I mean, there were a couple of like, so during that stretch, there was only one game where he had no shots on goal.
Yeah.
And most of these games, he has two or three, at least. And there were, just anecdotally, there were multiple, like, right on the doorstep where you're just like...
It felt like McKinnon the year before he finally broke out, where every night the goalie's best save was against that dude.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then you remember the goal that ended it.
Yeah.
Was that one that he flipped in up over whichever
from no angle. Yeah.
Yeah. From the goal line. He just flipped it in up over his head late in the third period to tie the game. That was their one regulation third period comeback win of the season.
Yep.
Followed up immediately the next night by them blowing their only third period regulation loss of the season. That was fun. Good memories.
Good times.
God, looking at this game log, I can't believe we sat through four games in a row against San Jose and four games in a row against St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, St. Louis wasn't that bad. The San Jose series was awful.
Yeah. The St. Louis one sucked because that was their second COVID pause.
Yeah.
And so they came back out of that with more guys with COVID, and it was just like...
They're icing half an NHL team, basically.
Brad, to answer Brad's question, he had multiple six-shot games this season.
I think that was A Wolf's question, but...
Oh, sorry. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have icons that look similar enough that in passing, I just... Right over my head. My bad.
Dude, the icons are small. It's hard to see them, like, at all.
Yeah. That's on me. Sorry.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway, he had multiple six-shot games this season. During that goalless stretch, he did not have one. But he did have a couple of five-shot games.
So.
And I remember that game he had 10 shots. He scored twice. Good Kadri, man.
Gonna put you on a quick spot here. Take no expectations from this prediction. But AJ, how many points for Kadri? Well, let's not make it a prediction. What do the Avs need for point total out of Kadri in the coming season?
I think they're right in the range of 50.
Okay.
Like, I think 40 would be pushing just a disappointment, but passable. 45, you're probably fine. You're probably just getting a little bit of bad percentage luck at 45. 50, it's right in the right range, and 60, something great has happened.
And he was on 52-point pace last year, I believe, for an 82-game season.
And that's all but four of his points came in the first 30 games. So obviously he needs to be better.
Right.
Those extremes have to smooth out a little bit.
A little more consistent. You take that 20-game stretch of one goal and four assists and split it into three or four game chunks.
Yeah.
Where he's being effective, you know, every third, fourth, fifth night.
He had such a slow start to the season, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
that 20-game stretch from games like 8 to 28, basically, where he...
Yeah. It was seven games, 7 to 30... that 24-game stretch, he had 23 points.
Yeah. So, there you go. Just couldn't miss for that stretch. But...
Yeah. He was a point-per-game player for a month.
And, I mean, the eternal question that we talk about all the time on this show, you know, if he was that much more consistent, he'd be a 1C, but...
Yeah. True. But I think 40 is like their...
Minimum, yeah.
This could be problematic, but this is passable still. But it really needs to be more like 50. Okay. So,
yep.
And it's a contract year, but he's also got enough of a track record. And even if he has 40 points, somebody will give him money in
definitely, yeah,
free agency next year. A guy like Kadri, I don't think has to worry too much about the contract year, but it's definitely going to help. It's not because he's made as much money as he has in his career, even with being on a discount deal as long as he's been. It won't be quite the same as it is like for Berkey, where this is the first time he's ever going to have a chance to sign a long-term contract.
Yeah.
maybe the only long-term contract Berkey gets in his whole career. So I'm expecting a Burakovsky like 33 goal season and everything, you know.
He just pops off, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's fully, you're gonna get the best of the best from Berkey this year.
I mean, let's be real. Regardless of the season Kadri has, he has a reputation around the league. Some of that reputation is bad, but a lot of that reputation is good as well.
Yeah, there's the dumb stuff, and we talked about this yesterday. It's just part of the story. You can't tell the Nazem Kadri story without it. Because for all the good things that he's done in his career and all the things that, you know, he's tried to accomplish, it's...
I mean, chat was talking about this earlier before we went live, but you talk about those type of players, right? You talk about a Marchand, you talk about Tom Wilson.
Yeah, well, the difference between those two is Tom Wilson has never stopped the shenaniganery, and Brad Marchand just, like, he's obviously got the reputation, but as his career has gone on...
He's toned it down, for sure.
Exactly, he learned. There were enough conversations there that he learned how to walk the line.
But
and where he can be effective and still be himself without putting his team behind the eight ball by doing, you know, by being a selfish asshole.
But point being, all three of those players, if they were on the open market and could be acquired for a fair price, every team in the league would be interested.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like he's playing himself out of the league, Kadri, or even Tom Wilson. But we don't
absolutely not. I mean, the other thing is I mean, Zach Rinaldo just got another contract.
True. You get a lot
so worse. So, like, the idea that Nazem Kadri is, like, the big fear with Kadri is now that they gave him what would have been a monster regular season suspension.
Yep.
In the postseason last year.
Would have been 15 games, basically.
Yeah. They gave him a monster suspension. It basically would have been a month.
Yep.
And now he's in everybody's crosshairs.
If he breathes on a dude wrong, yeah.
Despite the fact that his suspensions have been in line with only his history and not the history of the other suspensions going on around him.
Where you see players get one game for vicious hits in the same playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Where his was super out of line. His suspension was super out of line with the rest of the suspensions. His suspensions are in line with his own personal history.
Yep.
And that's where they're going to go off of.
Indefinitely, apparently.
Yeah, apparently he's just in his own little world of punishment here, on an island of punishment. So they're going to have to worry about that. That's and it's Kadri's responsibility. He can't hurt his team again like that. He just can't.
Can't give him a reason to suspend him.
It's three times now in postseasons that he has had a playoff ending suspension where he finished the season not on the ice helping his team.
Yep.
You know, and it would have been a fascinating story to see him come back in game 7.
Yeah, I wanted to see it, man.
I was so convinced that it was going to happen and that it was going to be
the Kadri game.
Yeah, it was going to be, it was going to be like a 5-point night. Like, he was just going to go ham.
Not the world we live in, unfortunately. The world we live in has Breckenridge Brewery, so you can drink instead of thinking about the Avs getting eliminated from the playoffs. So hit them up. Of course, you can get the bars on tap, the beers on tap at the bar. But check your local liquor store for the Good Company Hard Seltzer. Super delicious stuff. I love their green apple flavor. It tastes like a Jolly Rancher to me, which is a good thing. Absolutely delicious.
Wait, I need to plug real quick. I'm not saying that this is smart or healthy, but I put actual green Jolly Ranchers in the green apple hard seltzers last year, and it was incredible. So just plugging that for the audience to try.
There you go. Jolly Ranchers and Good Company Hard Seltzer. It's a match made in heaven. Get your Breck Brew now and check their Breck Beer Locator online at their website. And, you know, if you need a little extra beer money, hit up the Ball Corporation because they are hiring for their plant in Golden right now. You can text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com to apply. They're a great company. They pay a living wage. They treat their employees very well and have a bunch of opportunities, including if you are missing some holes in your resume and stuff, they will pay for courses to get you up to speed in the field. So just apply, see what you can do. If you need a new job, or if you're just looking to fill out your resume a little bit like that as well, they can help you while working for them. So check them out. Highly recommend Ball. They're an awesome company. They do a bunch of awesome stuff beyond just creating aluminum cans, which they are like the biggest producer ever of that as well. So yeah, they're good at what they do. Check them out. And then with all that money you didn't spend on beer, get a DNVR annual membership. Support us a little bit. Get our awesome content. Get access to the DNVR Lounge. I saw a bunch of the Broncos people were pumping that up on Twitter today. It's dope. It's our own little corner of the internet where you can come and talk sports literally all day. It's easy to get lost on the Discord for hours on end, having arguments, friendly arguments, usually, about who the best player is or what each team should do. It's great stuff. Can't recommend it enough. Of course, you also get things like a shirt from DNVR when you subscribe, Big Beers at the Bar, a bunch of other stuff as well beyond our exclusive content. So check it out today. Have a good time with us here. There you go. Juice just got his Oh Boy shirt. You love to see it. The new golf hats too. Mwah. They're amazing. I got to get myself one. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that DNVR code, please. Let them know we sent you. There's a question in here I wanted to ask to start off this segment. There we go. What are the chances they trade Kadri by the trade deadline? What would be the triggers? New hook? Yeah, I seriously doubt they would trade Kadri at all. But the triggers would
what be... What do you trade him for?
Right. Like, if you're trading him, that means you either have Newhook, who has come into the second-line center job somehow and excelled at it. So you're looking for a top-six winger at that point, I guess. Or the only other thing you would trade Kadri for is for a direct improvement at his job, right?
I'm sure.
Beyond that, I struggle to see.
I mean, I don't know what you're gonna move him for, because you're in a position where you have to understand the Avs are very asset poor now.
Yep.
They have done the thing. They made the big moves, okay? They recouped one of them, but
the chat really wants Hurdle.
Multiple second round picks in the last couple of years traded away. A first round pick. Right now, they've got a third round pick next year. Next
year's draft, yeah.
They've got 2 years. They've got fourth round picks already gone for the next 2 years.
Yep.
I fully expect the 2024 fourth round pick to be gone at the deadline. For some garbage who doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then prospect wise, unless it's like a Kaut or a Bowers, you know, then what are you gonna dig into? You're gonna get rid of the Sampo Rantas.
Your cupboards get thin real fast.
Right. Like if you're doing If you're moving Kadri, yeah, if you're moving him for Hurdle, you're adding to that.
Yeah, you're adding significantly.
And what do you add to it? What do you add? I mean, Hurdle's also on an expiring deal, so that will keep it. But why are the Sharks trading for Nazem Kadri?
They wouldn't. But
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Even if Colorado adds something, they can just go get futures from somebody.
To my original point, it's really hard to find a dance partner that wants to take on Kadri to give you a better center.
Right. I mean, like, look, if somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, we'll give you," say Pittsburgh calls you up and says, "We'll give you a first round pick."
That's
for Nazem Kadri. You know, you're intrigued by it, but in like only if Newhook is like,
right,
bam, taking that job.
At the end also, of the day,
Tyson Jost is legit as your 3C, because you will know by that point. If you're comfortable giving away the 2C job to Newhook, then you also know what has happened with Jost at 3C. And if you're comfortable with all of those things, then maybe you take that first round pick offer. But even then, you're getting worse. You're trying to win a Stanley Cup.
Right. The Avs are, their window is as open as it's going to get.
Yeah.
So trading for futures right now is not super sensical.
Right. Like, it would have made the Ryan Graves deal is how you trade for futures. Yep. You take a position of strength where you've got a little bit of excess that's of value that other teams like, other teams want. And then you move it, and you go, and you get a pick. That is not the case with Nazem Kadri. I don't see any reasonable look. Yeah. If Nathan MacKinnon blows out his knee, and he's your 1C, and you're going to miss the postseason this year, and because you've just had a disaster of a season, then you're selling. You're going crazy. You're like, yeah, sure, Kadri for whatever we can get him for, right? Like
deranged scenarios at that.
Yeah, point. I don't want to discount this possibility. Like they should easily make the postseason. Blah blah blah. But if like a true like disaster of a season happens, like one of those seasons where you're just like, what do you even do about this? Then sure. But otherwise, I just don't see a conversation where,
yeah,
it's even realistic. Yes, everybody touch wood.
Yeah. I don't think it's realistic to trade Kadri either. Yes, he's an expiring contract, but one, as we talked a little bit on yesterday's show, it's totally reasonable that the Avs could bring him back.
Yeah. And
two, if you win a cup, who cares? He comes, he goes, doesn't matter, got cup. Anyway. We've been ranting enough. We do have some numbers and data to do on this show.
I did want to get into the
advanced analytics here a little bit.
Who is Nazem Kadri as a player these days?
Yep.
Because I think it's interesting because there's a lot of people who are like, he's not even a serviceable player anymore. Get rid of him. He's not worth his salary. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, his play last year at times was absolutely problematic.
Yep.
It just was, man. Like, some of that selfishness where he was like, okay, we're rolling in. We've got numbers. It's 3-on-2. I've got the puck. I have two teammates with me. There are two defenders. Slow coming back on the forwards are slow coming back. This is a great situation. Let's try and make something happen. And he just throws the puck on net lazily, and the goalie catches it, and he stops play, and you're just like, all right, it's not the worst play in the world.
I'm more okay with that than when it's that type of situation, and instead of making any attempt to use his teammates, he tries to walk a dude, and it's a turnover going the other way.
But my frustration is when he tries, yeah, when it's multiple players.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to make a move on one guy, okay. But when you get through one guy, and then you're like, oh, let's try and put their whole team on a highlight reel. And it's just, and then it's a turnover
a little bit. Yeah.
And now because you had numbers and you turned it over high in the zone, now they have numbers and you're in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And you're feeling bad about life. And we saw a lot of that with him last year. The reason why I brought up the walking into the zone and just throwing pucks on net shot selection last year, no rhyme or reason to it. It was everything. If he had the puck and he was in the offensive zone, he shot it.
Pretty sure that's this one.
So yeah. We've got it, and look at that. Like, yes, there's a lot of shots from in close. There's a lot of shots from everywhere, though.
What, everything like south of the circles? What is going on there?
Big fan of the two shots outside of the blue line. Like,
cool. I mean, that's fine. No, those are outliers, obviously.
Those things happen. Yeah, it's no big deal. I do think it's interesting though that even on the right side of the ice, like he's playing center, so you know he's drifting around a little bit. But
is a little bit of this a product of the Avs system and their like how they absolutely fell in love with that MacKinnon play?
I don't think so, because none of the other lines really ran it effectively.
I know.
That's
my point.
They would kind of try it, but not really. And it wasn't like MacKinnon does it all the time.
Right.
The rest of these lines, it might happen. Like, they might like tinker with it.
MacKinnon has the ability to make it work somehow also. Like,
yeah. And if you look around the league, other guys have started trying to do it, and
it like, just doesn't. Yeah.
It is a uniquely MacKinnon thing that it's had success. I don't get it, but whatever. He's got a great wrist shot. He knows how to put it in a certain spot where a goalie can't see it, and that helps him there. But point is, he shoots from everywhere. And I want to throw up his quick overview of last year before we get into the specifics, because they're not great. It's actually a little discouraging that he is on the negatives. He's on the wrong side of both of them, both offense and defense. Can we throw the first one back up there a little bit longer? Yeah. So negative, had these been switched, you'd feel good about it.
Yep.
Negative 3% on offense and plus 3% on defense. You want those to be switched, but neither one of them is
significantly detrimental. Yeah.
Right. Is so deep into the, it being on the wrong side that you're super concerned about it. It is a mild concern though, because he's not driving play and defensively he's not holding up his end. And yep, he needs to be better there. You also see plus 12% penalties taken. We know that that's a problem.
Yeah. That's unfortunately, I think that's a problem that you're just going to have to live with Kadri.
Yeah, that's a problem that's been here to stay his entire career.
The minors are not going to go away.
So yeah, that's a bummer, but the rest of this is he also does draw a lot of penalties, as we see on there. So when we start to break, like, this is the general overview, but when we start to actually break into the specifics of things, if you look at him offensively, if you look at how the Avs are with him on the ice and off the ice, it's a lot more encouraging to see what's actually happening with him out there in an isolated impact. So with Kadri, the Avs offense was worse, but it was still elite in terms of driving play, because without him, at plus 22% is comically high. And plus 16% with him on the ice, it's not, again, it's not as good, but it's still very good relative to other centers and other guys in the league. It's very,
I mean,
there's a lot to like there.
It represents Kadri extremely well. Look at the heat zones and
left
circle and in, like,
yep. And like we saw with the shot location, those other, you know, on the point and kind of in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
For some reason, that like top right on the goal line, I don't know what that's all about. That's weird. But you really like, for the most part, that it's right in front of the goal and right on his forehand side.
Yep.
In a shooter's dream. So that's really encouraging. If we pull up the defense wowies, without Kadri, the negative 26% just enhances, like, again, the Avs defensively last year
were ridiculous.
Comically dominant in a bad division.
Yep.
And then with Kadri on the ice, again, worse with Kadri on the ice, but still better than you'll see from a lot of guys.
Nothing egregious there. You have
that's
a whole lot of red coming from the point, which you'll take.
Yep. That's where the big concern is, oh, they're shooting from the point. Your goaltender's going to take that. He's not going to mind that at all.
Yep.
I did not do any of the special teams because penalty kill, he was irrelevant. He played 3 minutes of PK time.
Play PK.
The number was super funny. It was like negative 76%. So you just imagine. He's just jumping onto the ice at the very end of PKs, and the puck's never in that zone. So that's how that happened.
He was weirdly used on the power play too. Like they put him in the bumper spot at random, but
his power play numbers were elite.
Yeah, I know, but when you play on a power play with MacKinnon and Rantanen, that helps.
Yeah, and he got replaced by Donskoy in the second half of the season because Donskoy couldn't miss and Kadri couldn't finish, so it made sense. They also really wanted that right shot. But they just looking at those underlying, they should go back to Kadri in that spot.
Well, I don't have Donskoy anymore.
Yeah, so they're going to have to – please don't go back to Comfort. Just go back to Kadri. What else? I think I've got his – okay, so the squigglies. I usually don't pull this up, and we don't usually mention this when we talk about it, but what I really wanted, those two in the middle, the shots at 5v5 and the goals 5v5.
Yep.
Because the shots 5v5, it's the third one from the top. You look at that black line, that's four, and the red line is against.
He's out shooting the opponent. The Avs are out shooting their opponents when he's on the ice pretty much always.
Yeah, basically all the time. And pretty much the worst case came a little blip in early February where they were barely outshot. And that was about the worst that it got all year with Kadri on the ice. Now, you see, this is where shooting percentages come in because the chart below that is goals.
And you can see three blips there where they get outscored significantly.
Yeah, and there was a time where it felt like the second line was always on the ice when the other team was scoring, and they couldn't ever get it back. Even when they were piling up points, they were giving them back. And this was kind of a year-long thing, a year-long problem with Kadri on the ice, is too many goals against.
Yep.
Some of that is bad luck, and some of that is being a part of too many quality chances going against and not finishing enough offensively.
Yep.
So some of that, you know, percentages even out a little bit for Kadri this year. That chart, which is very worrisome, is the one that will kind of work its way back to neutral. Right.
Yeah. For sure.
And hopefully goes the opposite direction and looks like the shots do, where it's like the shots are great. You love that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, when the floor is even with the other team, that's real good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then you can just see last year, what was Kadri's biggest problem? It was finishing.
Yep.
That was it.
It's not even close. His finishing is by far is his biggest problem, to be honest.
The defense wasn't great, but he's not a great defensive center. He never has been. That's not really what he does. That's why they have a guy like Tyson Jost, who is working his way into being a defensive stopper as a 3C, to try and help manage that a little bit. If you just look at the finishing here, this is in the bottom right, where offense versus defense versus finishing is like the dotted line.
Yep.
And you can see 2 years ago had a problem. I guess 3 years ago had a problem, and then 2 years ago was first year in Colorado, good. Last year, disastrous.
Yep.
So needs to do a better job of finishing, and that will jump way up.
You don't need him in his 19-20 finishing way up there, but you need him significantly higher than he was last year.
You would take him in just the 50 percentile, right, honestly.
Exactly. As long as he's average finishing, you're fine.
Yeah, you're totally okay with that.
And you're looking at this guy who had couldn't score to save his life, had a 30-game stretch where he scored 4 points, and he still gave the Avs a 49% WAR.
Yeah.
With all of that, with a 6.5% shooting percentage. It's easy to see where this guy's value, if he just gets a little bit of a standard return to the mean here, the value is not something that the Avs should be looking to get rid of. Talk about this a little bit more, but first, DraftKings Sportsbook really just wants to give you $200. If you sign up for a new account, use code DNVR. All you have to do is bet $1 on any week one NFL game. You don't even have to wait for the result. You don't even have to win. You just bet $1 on an NFL game in week one with the DNVR code, and you just get 200 bucks. They just give you $200 in free bets. So jump on it. Get in there today. Bet on a week one football game. When you get the 200 bucks, you can bet on whatever you want. Doesn't have to be football. Could be basketball. Could be hockey. Could be baseball. Literally anything. It's just $200 to make sports bets with. It's like a dream come true. If you lose it all, you've lost $1. If you make money off it, congratulations. You've turned $1 into a ton of money. So either way, it's dope. Go check them out. Of course, they can bet on ridiculous things too. If you want to bet your $200 on the next table tennis event in Russia, go nuts. Go ham. Maybe you have an inside man on something like that. Maybe you want to get put in Kespa jail and have the inside on the GSL and someone throwing a game. I don't know. Go check it out. DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Now, again, please use that DNVR code when you sign up for a new account. Let them know we sent you, and you got to use the code if you want to get the $1 for $200 bet on week one of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. An official sports betting partner of the NFL. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And by that, I mean also brought to you by Hassel Cattle Company. Go check out all of their amazing meats. Their Wagyu beef burger is delicious. You can get that down at the bar. P.S. New bar menu if you haven't been in a little while.
I'm excited to get back, and I'm going to try it out.
There's a lot of good stuff on the menu now. I know Kale was there trying the – Kale, are you a hot dog man or a glizzies man?
I mean, glizzies all day, obviously.
All right. Okay. Whatever.
The glizzies are good. But the best thing is, I think it's called the Bronco Burger, but it's got like onion rings, barbecue sauce, cheddar cheese, hatch green chili, cream cheese on it. It is decadent and massive and bad for you, but incredible.
I can't. So that sounds great on paper, but I don't like burgers with tons of stuff on it because it just falls apart while I eat it.
Eat it one piece at a time anyway.
Well, and that's why, is because stuff just falls apart. Like, I love like an egg on my burger and it gets all runny. And like, in theory, it's great, but it's just like it all just gets everywhere, and I'm just like, come on.
Either way, check out Hassel Cattle Company. Use code DNVR10 to get 10% off your order with them. If you want to get the munchies before you eat, you can hit up Solace Meds as well. Use code DNVR20 there to get 20% off your order. You can order online, solacemeds.com for pickup, or you can go in-store. They have various discounts in-store ranging from 15 to 25% off. And the Wheat Ridge location will give you a free King Cone or Solace Bar when you come in and buy anything. So jump on it. Go get your cannabis needs from them. You'll be set to go to eat a glizzy. It's a hot dog. I can't call it a glizzy. I can't do it. Anyway,
getting such a stupid name for a hot dog.
Getting back to Kadri, the Avs have an interesting conversation looking at this long term. I mean, obviously, in my mind, the long-term solution to 2C is eventually transitioning Alex Newhook to that spot.
That's the hope, yeah.
But you look inside of their organization and they certainly don't have a ton of natural centers. Certainly, they have Bowers, obviously, but he's not really a guy projected to play in the top six, full stop.
Yeah.
So, and if Newhook makes a transition, I guess they have Newhook and McKinnon for forever. But you look down at Ranta, winger, Olausen, winger. Bocage has played some center, but really a winger.
He will not in pro hockey. He will not
skate.
Be a center.
He can't skate enough to be a center. No, but
it's really
foodie, basically.
Really foodie, yeah.
Even like you even go to their depth. I guess even Weiss doesn't really play center anymore. Oh, he plays wing. Yeah. So the center depth is pretty short. Maybe if you're trying to project Ambrosio still as a center at the next level, I guess, but
gonna be real hard for a 5'9" guy to stay
right
there.
Right.
He's gotta turn himself into Braden Point to stay there. And if he does,
the Abs are rocking at that point.
Pretty good outcome.
Ah, yes, the chat bringing up our favorite topic, Landy at center.
And moving on.
Okay. So point being, there is some sense to the organization wanting to keep Kadri around, even if Newhook pans out faster than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because who knows when their next center will be ready to do things.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 19. You have to remember that kid's still a teenager. Who knows when he's going to be ready for the NHL.
Next year.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Just YOLO ready and the Avs don't need Kadri anymore if Newhook's ready too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You sound super confident in that. But what is your expectation that the Avs will heavily pursue Kadri as a re-signing option? Or is it just kind of a play it by ear situation?
Play it by ear. Yeah.
Okay. So as important as he may be to the team this year, the future is always cloudy, I suppose.
Yeah. With him especially, just because there is like Newhook.
Sure.
You know, it's not hard to envision a McKinnon Newhook foodie 1-3 where you're just like, holy shit, this skating just kills teams.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know where Jost is in that situation. I don't, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's not hard to envision like things kind of breaking that way. And those guys, it becoming those guys. And then, you know, your 4C spot is just whatever. And for right now, you know, it could even be, it's not that hard to envision a year from now.
Shane Bowers there or something too.
Yeah, it could be McKinnon, Newhook, Jost, and Bowers/Foodie.
Yep.
Like
your oldest center would be McKinnon at 26. That's wild.
Yeah, could be interesting, right? And again, you have a lot of good skating, you have a lot of talent there.
Yep.
You feel pretty good about it. So there's not a lot there, and it's definitely why they need Kadri to stay healthy now. But we'll see. Couturier's going to sign in Colorado to be the 2C. Yes, that's my dream.
Not only
to that be would be team, my dream.
He'll sign cheap enough that Colorado can afford him as well.
Yeah, that guy, he can. Give him whatever he wants to be this 2C.
The Avs can't afford to give him whatever he wants.
No, they can figure it out. Get rid of all the bums. It doesn't matter.
Every bum. Yeah. All right. They do that, but they have to move Taves. Now what?
Well, now you and I are fighting.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Now you and I are fighting, sir.
All right.
Well, if Byram breaks out to a level,
it'll be fine.
maybe they can do that, and that's how they'll make their big
their big goaltender trade next year.
Oh,
they'll use Taves to get their goalie next year. John Gibson time.
We'll see about that. Just do a big package and get Carter Hart as well. Full YOLO.
Oh yeah, now we're trading for Sean Couturier. Okay. Man, great. This is
wonderful. This is gonna go super well.
Well, you know, if we're in fantasy land, you might as well go full fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the assets to trade for Sean Couturier and Carter Hart.
All right. So, final thoughts here on the Kadri situation and the Avs. Can kind of expand this to the Avs top six as a whole if you want.
Yeah, I mean, important that Kadri is the man. He's gotta bounce back. He's gotta be the guy he was in year one in Colorado.
Yep.
If he's that guy, they're gonna be just fine.
All right.
It's not that he was so bad last year, as we went through all of his numbers and his underlines. He wasn't bad last year. He's just capable of better.
Yep.
And if they get that, if they get the better version of Kadri, they're gonna be in the money.
Yeah. Some pretty simple stuff there. Kadri bounce back a little bit and don't get suspended.
Don't get suspended. The problem is also like, don't be so worried about being suspended that it ruins your game the way that he's been successful his whole life.
Yep. He's got to find a happy middle there.
Yeah.
So that should just about do it for this show. Taking a deeper look at Kadri, one of the more interesting players on the Avs roster this year as far as fit and importance. Sure, we'll have a bunch more of these. I know AJ already talked about. We'll talk about Jost at some point this offseason. But
yeah, I'm working on the written piece right now. So
there you go. So look forward to that. I'm sure we'll do some other player breakdowns and more season preview stuff once we get a little bit closer to the season itself. So yeah, you know, you can find us here 5 days a week. We'll be back tomorrow. Be sure to like and subscribe to the video. Helps us out a ton. We're almost to 14K subscribers. Hit that subscribe button. Help us get that number up a little bit.
What should we talk about tomorrow?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Does anybody have any strong thoughts about what we should talk about tomorrow?
Burning questions on the Avalanche.
Are there, New Jersey numbers today. We found those out. The new guys. Yeah. So it's basically the new guys taking old guys' numbers. So Maltsev is now 11.
Okay, that's so, Gilbert.
Yep, Murray is now 28.
Okay, that's Cole.
Yeah. Kemper's 35.
That's new.
And Helm, of course, is 43.
Yeah, he was always 43, right?
And then McDermott is 56.
That's a weird number.
So, yeah, that is the kind of number that you give a guy in training camp that you don't think is going to make the team. He just randomly gets assigned a number.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of number that Oscar Olausson will have when training camp rolls around.
The Coyotes haven't actually been kicked out of Glendale yet, though, Chat. Like, they're playing there this year.
Yeah, I mean, what is there to say? They're getting kicked out, and it's probably just
to renegotiate the lease.
Yeah, they're probably just going to end up staying for much more expensive number.
Yep.
I think it's funny that they're like, get rid of the NHL team, and we'll just hold 20 concerts. COVID isn't over.
I've said this before on the Discord, but
okay,
that team will not leave Arizona as long as Gary Bettman lives.
As long as he's in charge.
Yeah, that dude refuses to let that town lose a hockey team.
Yeah, I just don't even think. I don't even think that it's gonna be a. For me, I don't think it's a conversation. There's nothing that I. I don't know. You know what we'll do? We'll reach out to Craig Morgan, and we'll have Craig come on and talk about it. Because
we can talk to Craig, yeah.
He'll have an opinion on it, and I can tell you right now, Rudo, and I don't. It's like, look, if somebody buys them and relocates them, okay. We're not there. They're not even for sale.
As far as I can tell, there's no one. The city pegged for it is Houston, right? And no one in Houston wants to buy. So,
right. The only owner of the Rockets has like expressed interest, but I think he's going through a bunch of legal problems.
Always a good time to buy a team.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that's where that's headed. It's pretty obvious that they don't want to put another team in Canada.
Yeah. Heard Kansas City's name floated a little bit, but I don't think they have an NHL ready arena right now.
Yeah, I mean, you get like Kansas City or Portland are places. Portland
right after you put one in Seattle, and then, right?
Like, Milwaukee is another place.
Yeah, Milwaukee is actually an interesting one to me, but anyway. We're sidetracked as hell here, and we got to get out of here. So
yeah, you guys wanted to talk about it. We just did. Bam! Yeah, what else do we need to talk about?
If you have some real burning questions, hit us with a DM on the Avs account on Twitter or my account.
Here's what we should do tomorrow. We should just answer questions.
We could do that. We can just throw a Twitter question.
Mailbag pod, always good.
There you go. Yeah. The producer has made it so we'll all probably throw a tweet out if you see that.
Put a team in Buffalo is hilarious.
Got him.
That's 4 points, sir. Well played.
Learn your lesson from the last team there, and don't put a team there, I think might be the answer. But anyway, thank you all. We'll be back tomorrow answering questions. Until then, we'll talk to y'all later.